If you need a handout, our ushers are coming. And while they're coming, if you need a handout, lift your hand up high. And if not, then take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And then also I want you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. All right? Romans and Galatians. Romans 3. And then the first place we're going to go is Galatians chapter number 3. That's both in the New Testament, and they're not too far away from each other. Romans 3 and Galatians 3. I know maybe some of you are turning, but I do want to give you the first statement in your handout. Your handout says that God's moral law was summarized in what we call the Ten Commandments. God's moral law was summarized in what we call the Ten Commandments. Can anybody tell me where are the Ten Commandments found in your Bible? Does anybody know that? All right, y'all are like, well, I know it's in there somewhere, amen? And it's in Exodus chapter number 20, and I wonder how many of us could name three of the ten, all right? Of course, we know the biggies, right? Thou shalt not kill, right? And we know, don't commit adultery, don't steal, and certainly those are three of them. But then there's other ones that really hit close to home, like honor your father and mother, don't bear false witness, don't lie. And that one right there, I think, nails most of us, right? I mean, anybody in here not told a lie in their life? I guess that's probably the better way to ask it. Otherwise, if I say how many of you have lied, then we end up with a lot of liars that don't raise their hand, right? So it's better to ask, I've learned it's better to ask it the other way. How many of you can say you've never lied? You know, all right. You know, one of the Ten Commandments, don't commit adultery. But then what we don't know often is the one about idolatry. And, you know, really that's spiritual adultery. And it's when we put other things ahead of God. It's when we love things more than we love God. That violates the first two of the Ten Commandments, not to have any other gods and not to have any idols in our lives. Don't take God's name in vain is one of them. And so the Ten Commandments, that's God's moral law. But you know, as you go to Galatians 3, the New Testament gives us some very disturbing insights about the law. And I actually should have had that in your handout, but in your handout there, if you see the statement where it says, as we read about the law, the Bible gives us some disturbing insight, here's the problem. I want you to write beside, here's the problem, put Galatians chapter 3. Okay, put, if you want to abbreviate, G-A-L, and then the number 3. That way you'll know later on when you look at this where these verses come from. Galatians 3. Look with me at the first statement in your handout. It says, the law cannot justify anyone before God. The law, that is, your keeping of the Ten Commandments, is not going to bring you justification before God. Look with me at Galatians 3, verse 11. Now, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Look at it. It says, but that no man is justified by the what? By the law in the sight of God. No one is going to stand justified before God because you can say, I kept the law in totality. I never violated it. Nobody's going to be justified. Number two in your handout, the law cannot bring life or righteousness before God. If you look at Galatians 3, same chapter, skip down to verse 21. It says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, no. For if there had been a law which could have given life, then verily righteousness should have been by the law. But here's the problem. The Scripture hath concluded how many? All under sin. So the law can't bring me life. It can't bring me righteousness. Number three in your handout, the law actually brings a curse upon us. The law actually brings a curse upon us. You say, well, what do you mean? Look down at verse 10, same chapter. Look down at verse 10. Look at it. For as many as are of the works of the law. In other words, you think that's the reason you're going to be right with God. He said, no, you're under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So, question for you. If there's 10 commandments and I break one, does that bring a curse upon me? According to that verse, absolutely. The Bible says that if I don't continue in the whole law, then it brings a curse upon me. In other words, I'm a sinner and I'm guilty as a sinner. Now, the question, I know some of you may be wondering, well, if the law can't justify us and the law brings a curse and the law can't bring life or righteousness, then why did God give mankind the law to begin with? If the law can't save anybody, why did God give the law? Why did God give the Ten Commandments? Well, when we answer that question this morning, we are going to gain insight as to why Jesus Christ had to die on the cross. Number one is this in your handout. The first big major point is this. The law was given that we may see our utter sinfulness. The law was given that we may see our utter sinfulness. Now, keep your bookmarker in Galatians 3 and go to Romans chapter 3, please. And we're going to go back to Galatians at the end of the message. But let's go to Romans chapter number 3. And the law, the Ten Commandments, that's the biblical means of God awakening sinners. And what I mean by that is that the written commandments of God revealed to you and me the fact that we have broken God's moral law. For example, I grew up in a home where really it wasn't a big deal to use God's name in vain. So I would hear my mom say, oh my, you know, G-O-D, L-O-R-D. And I didn't think anything of it. I said it all the time. I used Jesus Christ's precious name as a curse word. I used God's precious name as an exclamation, oh my, and I did it all the time. And I didn't think anything of it until later on when I realized one of the Ten Commandments is that I am not to take God's name and use it in an empty, worthless, meaningless way. And when I realized that was one of the Ten Commandments, of course, it brought guilt, and I realized how wrong I had been. But it was the written law that brought that helped me to see how sinful and how wrong that was. Now, look at Romans 3, and look at verse 23. Romans 3, 23. The Bible says, for all have sinned. Read that with me. What does it say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we have all sinned and we've all come up short. Now in your handout it says this. It says God's law shows us specifically how we've come up short of God's holy standard. The Bible shows us how we've come up short. For example, we'll go to Romans 5. Go over to chapter 5 and look down at verse 20. Romans 5 verse 20. Now look at that verse. Look at that one. It's why did the law enter? Why did God give the law? Well, there it is. Look at it. Moreover, the law entered. Why? That the offense might abound. You say, I don't get it. All right, let me explain. If you're cruising down the highway and you're in the flow of traffic and you're doing 15 miles per hour over the speed limit, all right, and you're kind of in the flow and everybody's kind of doing the same thing, and there's no visible evidence of the law anywhere. Translated, no police cars anywhere, all right? And you're cruising down the highway and you're doing about 15 miles per hour over the speed limit. Well, you rationalize in your mind and you think, well, it's only 15 miles. And I'm still driving safely. I'm not endangering anybody. Everybody else is doing it. You've got all these rationalizations why it's fine to be doing 15 miles per hour over the speed limit. And everything is hunky-dory. Everything is great. Everything is wonderful until that happens. And when you see that in your rearview mirror, what happens? Your heart starts to beat out of your chest. Oh man, I've been there. How about you, huh? This is a good day for confession, amen. And man, I've been there. And I mean, your heart starts to miss a beat and your heart starts thumping. Why? Because now all of a sudden, there's not as much comfort in the fact everybody's doing it, is there? Now all of a sudden there's not as much comfort in the fact, well, it's only 15. Now all of a sudden there's not comfort in the fact, well, I'm not hurting anybody. Now there's not all that comfort anymore. Right, Brother Ray? No. Now all of a sudden it's like, you know what? I'm guilty. And I could be pulled over just as easily as the next guy. And I could be written a big fat ticket because I am violating the law. Okay, and that's what it means. The law entered that the offense might abound. When the law enters, your offense abounds, and you realize, wow, okay, I am offending. So God gave the law that the offense might abound, because we're going along the freeway of the world. We're going along the freeway of the world of sin, and it's like, well, you know, who hasn't committed an extramarital affair? That's what they call it. You know, Bible calls it adultery, by the way. But they say an extramarital affair. Who hasn't, had hatred in their heart towards somebody? Who hasn't lied, told a white lie? Who hasn't taken something that didn't really belong to them, maybe took it home from work or took it from a neighbor or something like that? Who hasn't done that? And, oh, we got all these justifications, you know, and we think we're okay. The law enters. God's law, he puts it in black and white, that the offense might abound, that we may see our utter sinfulness, and that we have offended a holy God. Number two, the second thing is this: the law was given that we may understand our guilt before God, that we may understand our guilt before God. You know what we do a lot when we, those of you who know the Lord today and you're saved, and you know Christ, you know what we tend to do when we witness to people? If you've ever tried to witness to someone about Jesus Christ, you know what the tendency is, and it's a natural tendency. Here's what we do. We tend to want to go straight to the good news of how Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. And we tend to want to go straight to that before we show them that they're a sinner and that they're guilty before God. Now, the problem with that, and it's because we're anxious to get to the good news. But the problem with that is that if you don't understand your guilt, then you don't appreciate mercy. You don't appreciate it. You know? And you know, Brother Paul, I was just thinking about you being a principal of a school. You know, you got to make sure those kids see their guilt, right? You got to make sure they see, here's the rule, here's how you've broken it. You may choose to show mercy, but they're not going to appreciate it until you show them how guilty they are. See? And it's the same thing with, talk about speeding. Imagine you're out here on A1A, on Beachside, and imagine that you're doing, it's a 30 mile per hour zone, you're doing 40 miles per hour, but you think the speed limit's 40. So you're going down the road, and you're doing 40 miles per hour, and all of a sudden you see the lights, and the guy pulls you over, but he's a nice guy, and he's like, you know, he pulls you over, he doesn't really tell you, you know, at first what's going on, but he just starts writing you out a ticket. And man, you are ticked, because in your mind, you were keeping the law. And he starts writing you out a ticket, and he says to you, sir or ma'am, you know what? I could write you a $300 ticket. I don't know if that's what it is, but I could write you a $300 ticket for speeding. But instead of that, I'm going to write you a $10 ticket because your license, your insurance card is expired. And, you know, if you think you were keeping the law, you're almost offended by that. You're like, well, I don't even deserve the 10 because I wasn't speeding. And you kind of, you tell him that. You say, well, listen, you know, I appreciate you wanting to be nice and everything, but I don't even deserve the 10 because I wasn't speeding. And all of a sudden he says, sir, would you get out of your car, please? And you get out of your car, and he walks you back about 20 feet, and he points up to a sign. And on the sign, it says 3-0. And you go, let me ask you something. Do you appreciate the mercy he showed now? Huh? Yeah. You realize now, man, the guy showed mercy, and now you appreciate it. Why? Because you see how guilty you were. God's law, God gave it so that we could understand our guilt before God. Look at Romans 3, verse 19. Go back to chapter 3 and look at verse 19. It says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, And all the world may become what, church? Guilty. Say it with me. Guilty before God. Guilty before God. The word guilty means condemned. You say, well, I don't think that we should go around condemning sinners. The Bible says they're already condemned. The law simply shows them their true state. The law just shows them the truth. They're already condemned because they violated God's law. Ladies, you ever dust a table in your living room and you think it's clean? And then you open up the shades and let the morning sunshine hit it. And when you open up the shades and the morning sunshine hits the table, do you think you see some more dust on there? Probably so. Now, it's not the sunlight's fault. The sunlight did not create the dust. It simply exposed it. This morning, my garage was kind of dark, and I got in my garage to pull my car out of my garage, and I thought, man, that car looks pretty good, you know, clean. And then I pulled that baby out of the darkness of the garage, and I pulled it out into the morning Florida sunshine, and you know what I said? That car's filthy. That thing's, it's got a layer of dust that thick on it, you know. The light didn't create the dust, it simply exposed it. The law of God that God gave, the Ten Commandments and so forth, that's what exposes our sinfulness. It's the light, it's that morning light that shines and it shows the true state of your heart, and you realize, wait a minute, I'm guilty and I need God's forgiveness. I need God's forgiveness because I'm guilty. I'm guilty before God. Number three. Why else did God give the law? And we're going to get to now the cross here in a minute, but I want you to get this. Number three, the law was given that we may recognize our inability to save ourselves. The law was given that we may recognize our inability to save ourselves. You see, a lot of times as sinners, we think that we're rich in virtue. The law is what shows us that we're not as virtuous as we think we are. The law of God reveals to us the truth of Romans 3, verse 10. Look at it with me, Romans 3, 10. All right, everybody looking at that? As it is written. This is a quote from the Old Testament. There is none what? There's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is, say the last part of the verse with me, church. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, we may think we're good. You know why we think we're good? It's because we compare ourselves with other people. That's why, you know. We compare ourselves with other people. And you know, Adam Levy down here, he compares himself with Clayton, Caleb, and Xander, and Adam thinks, I'm good. Look at these guys, these rascals, man, I'm good, you know? And you compare yourself with your neighbor, compare yourself with coworkers, compare yourself with maybe people that you know at church, and you compare, and you think, I'm pretty good. But when you compare yourself with God's holy law, what happens is it strips us of our self-righteousness, and it shows us, man, I'm in trouble with God. We've got a little track that we have in the back that people can grab free, and you can hand these out. But it talks about, you know, good and bad, and it says, here, take a quick 6-question test using God's Ten Commandments. And it has a little, you know, test that people can take. Have you ever told a lie? Okay. You don't have to answer all these. Okay. Have you ever stolen anything? You know, yes or no. Have you ever committed sexual sin in thought or deed? Have you ever used God, Jesus, or Christ as a curse word? Did you ever disobey or disrespect your parents? And then the 6th question is, have you ever been envious of something that somebody else had? That's just 6 of the 10 commandments. And the track goes on then to explain, you know, how'd you do? Well, most people don't do too good when they take that test. because it only takes one lie, only takes one time stealing something. No, we see, when we compare ourselves with each other, we think, well, I'm okay. When we compare ourselves with God's law, we realize we're in trouble. When we look at ourselves in the light of God's law, we have to agree with God. Yeah, God's right. I'm not right. He's right. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. That's what the Bible says. We read it earlier. The law stops every mouth. The law stops every mouth. Therefore, nobody's going to get to heaven by their moral virtue, their upstanding character, their keeping of God's law, their good deeds. Nobody. Here's the Bible's conclusion. It's in your handout. Look at it with me. It says, therefore, we conclude. This is the Bible's conclusion. Therefore, we conclude that a man is, notice that a man is justified by faith without the, say it with me, deeds of the law. Nobody's going to get to heaven because they were a better law keeper than somebody else. What are the wages of sin? The wages of sin is death. Now, you may not sin quite as much as me. And that he may not sin as much as him, and he may not sin as much as him. He may not sin as much as him. That's not even the issue. That's all irrelevant. The bottom line is God's ruler, God's standard is the law. And we've all broken it. And we've all come up short, every one of us. Which brings me to my last point. Number four is this. The law was given to show us our need of a Savior. The law was given to show our need of a Savior. We're all guilty. We're all condemned. We all deserve eternal death because of our sin and our rebellion against God's law. You see, folks, as you look at that cross, and that's life size right there. As you look at that cross, it's exactly what the choir sung about. It's exactly right. That should have been my cross. If anybody deserved to die for their sin, it was me. That's mine. I'm the one that deserved. I'm the one that sinned. I'm the one that broke God's law. I'm the one that came up short. I'm the one the Bible says is condemned. I deserve to be on that cross. The good news, though, is in your handout there, Galatians 4, 4 and 5. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Praise God, He sent a Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus kept God's law that we could not keep. Jesus Christ never broke one of the Ten Commandments. Jesus Christ never sinned. He never disobeyed. He never rebelled. The Bible says, and these are from people who walked with Him the closest, they said, we saw no sin in Him. There was no guile in His mouth. Peter said that he was blameless. He was like a lamb without spot, without blemish. John, who walked with Him, lived with Him, John said in Him was no sin. The writer of Hebrews said that He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You see, Jesus Christ never sinned. He kept the law, but then He chose to die the death that we deserve to die. Look at Romans 5. Go over to chapter 5 and I'll show it to you. Look at Romans 5 real quick, and I hope you're hungry to see this. Look at Romans 5 verse 6. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Look at verse 8. But God commendeth, He demonstrated His love toward us. How did God do that? In that while we were yet sinners, and look at that last part of that verse and say it with me, Christ died for us. You see, that right there that you're looking at, that is God's glorious plan to redeem fallen man. And in your handout it says, Christ paid our sin debt for us through His death on the cross. He paid our sin debt for us through His death on the cross. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, there He was paying the sin debt that you and I owed. He didn't owe the debt. We owed the debt. He paid the debt for us. He paid the debt for us. He took the death that we deserve to die. And that's why the choir sung that song. It's the title of that song is On My Cross. My cross. That should have been my thorns. That should have been my nails. That should have been my cross. There He died, the Bible says, for us. Why did God give the law? Why didn't God just send Jesus to die for us? And why did He give the law to begin with? Here's why. In your handout it says, the law was designed to show us our sin and guilt and cause us to flee in faith to Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says the law was our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. The law was given that we may realize that, hey, Dan Proctor, I cannot be saved by my goodness. I'm a sinner. I've broken God's law. I'm guilty. Wait a minute. There's an answer. There's a solution. God made a way out. And in the law shows me my guilt so that when I see the way God made out and I see that, I'm happy, I rejoice, and I flee in faith and I put my trust in God's answer, Jesus Christ. That's why God gave the law, to cause us to flee in faith to the answer. The law reveals to us there's no way we can please God other than by faith in what Jesus Christ did for us. It's the law that enables us to make sense out of grace. If I don't think I deserve punishment, then you know what? If I think, well, I'm as good as the next person, and if anybody ought to go to heaven, it's me. And if I've got that cocky, arrogant spirit, well, I don't care. You know, there's other people who, they don't care whether or not they go to heaven or not. I don't care what happens. They think, well, when I die, that's it, and that don't matter. And you know, God can do it, and people, you know, get real arrogant. You know, I'm just going to go to hell and party with my friends. And people can get real arrogant. But then the law comes, and the law shows us our sin and our guilt and how we've offended a holy God and that the wrath of God is going to come on sin one day. And you know what? That causes us then to flee and to bow in humility and to appreciate the mercy and appreciate the grace that God's given to me and that God's given me a way out. And until I see my sin, until the law reveals my sin, I'm never going to kneel down in faith and humble myself to God's answer and God's remedy for sin, Jesus Christ. In your handout, last statement there says that the law acts as a mirror. If you eat a dessert and you get it all over your face, and you go and you look in the mirror and you see that stuff all over your face, is it the mirror's fault that you are dirty? No. And the law is like that mirror. It shines on my heart and says, Dan, you have lied. Dan, you've coveted other people's things. Dan, you've stolen. You've used God's name in vain. You've dishonored your parents many times. You've put things ahead of God and committed idolatry, therefore. You've had thoughts that you shouldn't have had. And all of a sudden, the law shines its bright light on my heart. It's like a mirror. It shows the true state of my heart and it shows my need. In your handout, it says the law acts as a mirror to show us that we need cleansing. And it leads us to the only one who can cleanse us. Who's the only one that can cleanse us, folks? It's what Jesus did for you on the cross. Amen. Amen, church. Amen. Are you thankful for the cross? Amen. Amen.